It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this second day of September 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us online. It's also where we keep one of the best-known secrets in online broadcasting. I'm talking about the Horn chat room, where if you pick out a screen name and a password, if you don't already have one, you can be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe around. So, jump right in. The conversation's fine. If you do show up, pop in. You'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky, and capably moderated by pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan, who was quite helpful yesterday evening sorting out the business of why it is that there were three extra one-penny stamps on the no postage necessary if mailed in the United States Trump fundraising email, or Trump fundraising mailer that arrived in the regular mail. And with some suggestions from Chris in Germany, I think I finally figured out what I'm going to do with that thing. I'm going to take their survey, probably write Trump sucks donkey dicks all over it, and then just to make a little extra weight, I think I'll go down to my local hardware store and buy a few washers. Not like washing machines, mind you. You know, washers. You know, hardware. Nice heavy ones. And tape them to the survey and see if we can't run the weight up to about, half a pound or something, and mail it back to them. And let them pay for it. Fuckers. I ought to know better than be sending me something in the mail. My God almighty. But see, they just assume that everybody in West Virginia is a Trump voter. Ain't they? Don't you like Trump? I like Trump. Narf. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to doing that. Hopefully they'll send more of those envelopes so I can send them more washers. I mean, No, wait. And it's soft, too, so I can hammer them flat. I know, we're getting into a little bit of effort here, aren't we? Lead fishing weights. Wile E. Coyote, you genius. Super genius. I like the sound of that. Yeah, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. And so thank you very kindly. Thanks going out to our second day of the month subscribers. Thanks very kindly to Rocco and Elizabeth. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks as well during the day to some folks who helped us jump out in front of the fundraising goal for the day. That's big thanks going out to Cecilia and to Mark and to Timothy and to Samson and to John. This doesn't happen very often, but it's terribly exciting. I can happily announce that what would ordinarily be a daily fundraising goal of $200 is, well, it's down to 70. Thanks, all of y'all. So, you know, since we were still in a situation where the deacons aren't passing the plate, they wouldn't even have much work to do this evening. I don't think they're capable of doing much right now anyway. Their centers of gravity are so near to the earth they can barely move after eating themselves into stupors over the course of this long, miserable pandemic. They're practically, I mean, talk about sedentary. They're almost cemetery, like cement. Mm. So, anyway, we've only got $70 to go. Wait, and Jeremy just took us down to 65. Thank you, Jeremy. So, wow, that's wonderful. Knock $65 out in the next hour or so, and I can shut up about fundraising for the other two. Oh, and as you'll note, I'm on air on time, which is awesome. I'm tickled to pieces about it. I got a note from Ferg earlier, a little bit earlier today, and he let me know that he was going to have to cover for somebody else. So as a result, I don't pick him up until 9 o'clock this evening and 9 o'clock tomorrow evening. So neither today nor tomorrow will be a matter of having a late start, which means we'll get through the week with ordinary timing, which is fantastic. I love it when a plan comes together. Yeah, A-team, right? Well, like I said, even though we're doing virtual services from the Cathedral of Common Sense, nonetheless, the little old blue-haired ladies are hard at it in the Fellowship Hall kitchen, filling up the little to-go boxes to go out to neighbors and friends and, you know, shut-ins and the like. And so, consequently, this evening, they sent me out to the griddle with several loaves of good crusty baguette bread. And so I whipped up homemade roasted garlic bread. Split the baguettes. Toasted them in olive oil on the Blackstone griddle. Pasted them with that wonderful roasted garlic. You know, I love roasted garlic because you just squeeze the clove out and it's all soft and just. And then hit them with the mozzarella. A little bit of herbs and spices. Covered them up. Let the cheese melt. Wrap them up. And the little old blue-haired ladies had worked up a whole bunch of wonderful meat sauce over some angel hair, and we sent it out, and hopefully the imaginary congregation will be happy with the imaginary dinner. Mm-hmm. I had a note from the minister of music. He's a little pissed that we've been leaving him out of the festivities, the online virtual service festivities. So, we'll just try to knock out that last $65 and. If not that, he enjoys leading the offertory hymn, brethren and sister, and that's all there is to it. So let's humor the minister of music, shall we? Yes, do let's.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world, the fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around!
I will!
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, he's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, hoo, ee, oo, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistren, to Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. I have been lax. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. I have been lax in bringing you this uplifting, emotional, spirit-freeing moment for far too long. How glory, amen, I have been. So I'm calling on you out there. We can't gather together inside the Cathedral of Common Sense, and you wouldn't want to be here anyway. How glory, because of all the cobwebs. Amen. Amen. It hasn't been dusted out in rather a long while. Hallelujah. Not to mention the sacred serpent that is taken to hiding under the sacristy. Amen. No, you wouldn't want to be, but even though you're at home, hallelujah, glory, I am calling upon you. Amen. I'm calling upon you to stand up. Stand up. Get up off of your seat and onto your feet, amen, and walk as far as you can, hallelujah. Get on over there to where you've got your computer subwoofer and fall upon your knees and lay your hands upon the, amen, hallelujah, glory, subwoofer, and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you. From the server on high, amen. Just wait. Wait upon the grace. Wait. Oh, glory upon the presence. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Pawn, sell, buy, trade, amen. And feel it as it enters your being. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Analyst, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Munificent Mullah, Good Guy Guru, Bob Kincaid, and this is, amen, Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Ha! And brethren and sistren, I've just had a fantastic idea from Brother Usher Steve in New York. A way that we can better serve the congregation. Amen. We're going to have a drive-through confessional. Amen. Praise his holy name. You know, that tinny little speaker like you get at the Wendy's or the Burger Thang or the clown burger place, that's got a hell of a lot more anonymity to it. Amen. Than does any confessional in any brick-and-mortar church. Amen. Glory.
Thank you for visiting the Cathedral of Common Sense. Please select your sins from the menu in front of you.
And then, brethren and sistren, after the confession, the tinny voice will come back and will say,
thank you very kindly for your confession. Blessings upon you. Please pull around to the window.
And then, when they pull around to the window, we'll have a super soaker, brethren and sistren, loaded up with holy water. Hell, they won't know it's water from a jug from Walmart. It ain't don't make
they get it out of the tap over there at the regular gospel shops anyway, and we'll hose them down, and we'll have the plexiglass screen up like they do, you know, with the contactless. The contactless delivery at the delivery window, and we'll just hose them down real good with the super soaker, just pump, and go and sin no more. My daddy plays dominoes better than your daddy plays dominoes, and send them along and wait for the next one to pull up. Amen. What a wonderful idea that is. Thank you, Brother Usher Steve. You are piling up treasure in the great beyond. Amen. Yes. So, brethren and sistren, we got some real live, honest-to-goodness checking in to do with the religion industry, because they've been unburdening themselves of late with some pretty interesting definitions of what qualifies as sin. And we'll get to that. But I also got, Steve provided me another idea for the mailer. 3 cents. Why don't you just send a bag of soup and paste the envelope on the outside of the bag, or just fill it full of rubles? I still like the fishing weights idea better, Brother Usher. And see, the problem with sending soup in the mail is that while it would be best if it burst and was real, and you know, you want to use a cream soup if you're mailing soup to the Trump campaign, because you want it to be nice and ranky skanky by the time it gets to them. So I'd suggest using your Campbell's lobster bisque, or your Manhattan clam chowder, or cream of mushroom, cream of chicken, cream of celery, cream of onion. Man, wouldn't that be god awful by the time it arrived? But I wouldn't want to do that to any workers of the United States Postal Service, because that's just not fair. So I'll probably stay with the fishing weights. Wouldn't you? So, what is that, a 1 ruble? No, I think you want kopecks for that, Steve, not rubles. That's too much money. And besides, it's fungible, and they could conceivably go and turn it into real money. Yeah, you see my point. Silent R. Lamar with a note. I'm tired of the bullshit and living as an endangered species. Brother Bob, understand, I'm 62 years old, an undercover black militant. I remember the real Black Panther Party for self-defense, Huey Newton, Bobby Seale, and others. During World War II, tens of thousands of blacks left the southern states during the Second Great Migration, moving to Oakland and other cities in the Bay Area to find work in the war industries such as Kaiser Shipyards. Oh yes, Kaiser Shipyards that turned out the Liberty Ships. Some of which were transformed into what became known as Jeep carriers, the escort carriers. My uncle sailed on one to his permanent posting. He said the steel on the hull was so thin, the whole ship would vibrate when a real powerful wave hit. The sweeping migration transformed the Bay Area as well as cities throughout the West and North, altering the once white dominated demographics. A new generation of young blacks growing up in these cities faced new forms of poverty and racism unfamiliar to their parents, and they sought to develop new forms of politics to address them. Black Panther Party for Self-Defense membership consisted of recent migrants whose families traveled north and west to escape the southern racial regime, only to be confronted with new forms of segregation and repression. In the early 1960s, the civil rights movement had dismantled the grim Jim Crow system of racial caste subordination in the South, with tactics of nonviolent civil disobedience and demanding full citizenship rights for black people. However, not much changed in the cities of the North and West. As the wartime and post-war jobs, which drew much of the black migration, fled to the suburbs along with white residents, the black population was concentrated in poor urban ghettos with high unemployment and substandard housing, and was mostly excluded from political representation, top universities, and the middle class. Northern and Western police departments were almost all white. Kind of like, I'll add editorially, the Fraternal Order of Police meeting that Lindsey Graham showed up to receive their endorsement. Curiously enough, there was not a black cop in sight. Maybe we'll get to that in a little bit. In 1966, only 16 of Oakland's 661 police officers were African-American, less than 2.5%. Dissatisfied with the failure of these organizations to directly challenge police brutality and appeal to the brothers on the block, Huey and Bobby took matters into their own hands. After the police killed Matthew Johnson, an unarmed black young man in San Francisco, Newton observed the violent insurrection that followed. He had an epiphany that would distinguish the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense from the multitude of black power organizations. Newton saw the explosive, rebellious anger of the ghetto as a social force and believed that if he could stand up to the police, he could organize that force into political power. Inspired by Robert F. Williams' armed resistance to the Ku Klux Klan and Williams' book Negroes with Guns, the time for Negroes with guns are upon us, and the question is, how many Negroes will take up arms? The black community wanted protection against police brutality. And we saw the end result, the brutal repression of the Black Panthers. We did. Thanks for that, Silodar. And this, where'd it go? This from Joey, and it kind of dovetails with what Silodar was talking about. I was shocked and saddened. When I told Ferg, it hit him like a punch in the gut. I was shocked and saddened, Joey writes, to see that Chadwick Boseman had died this past weekend. Of course, he played Jackie Robinson in the movie 42, a wonderful film, which delineated the endless challenges Jackie Robinson faced in his attempts to become the first African-American to play Major League Baseball. Before a game in Cincinnati, the city that thinks sin is so nice, they say it twice, sin, Addy. At Cincinnati's Crosley Field, a letter was discovered that threatened Robinson's life if he set foot on that baseball field. Of course, Cincinnati has a long-standing problem with racial violence and racial intolerance. Just before that game, Brooklyn Dodgers second baseman and teammate Pee Wee Reese walked over to a nervous Robinson who was playing first base that night, put his arm around him, and told Jackie, "We're all number 42 tonight." Well, America, I'm not sure what number we all are at this moment in time, but we Americans have numbers on our backs, considering the fact that after watching the convention last week with the Republicans completely ignoring the pandemic by, one, not even mentioning the malady, and two, by not wearing any kind of facial coverings, Republicans have no regard for human life and do not care who they kill, even their own. The Republicans erroneously claim that Joe Biden will allow abortions right up until birth and how Biden has no regard for human life. However, the hypocritical Republicans fail to mention anything about the 185,000 deaths due to the virus, but then again, why should they when 57% of registered Republicans believe the death toll of 185,000 is an acceptable number of deaths during the pandemic? That, along with their endless rallying cry to continue to make sure fossil fuels are still the answer to our energy needs, as Trump has currently rolled back 68 environmental regulations with 32 more on his agenda to be rolled back. He and the Republicans have rolled back an Obama-era rule requiring oil and gas companies to monitor and fix methane leaks, considering methane is 80 times more dangerous than burning of carbon dioxide when it comes to trapping heat in the Earth's atmosphere. And as an addendum to that, I'll add editorially, in rolling back that rule, he did so against the will of the oil and gas companies themselves, who said, leave the rule alone. We're used to it. We've got everything in place to obey that rule. It's going to screw with us. But he did it anyway. What's that, Giraffe? Giraffe says, in the words of the great African-American philosopher and author James Baldwin, read books. Read the newspaper, but read. And when you cannot read anymore, start writing. Great job, Giraffe. I first heard that quote back in college in my Pan-African Studies class, and I think Giraffe is correct, because now I think we can all read the writing on the wall. Republicans don't care about human life. Yes, we can all feel a little bit like Jackie Robinson these days, as we're living in an environment where radical Republicans could kill us. And I'll add, and are actively trying to do so. This has been Joey's Journal for Wednesday, the second day of September, with Giraffe reading the Republican playbook. Thanks, Joey. Because it, b- between Silent R. Lamar's note and Joey's note, it sets up a lot of what we're going to be talking about this evening. You know, of course, you've seen by now, and it's Brother Deacon Asa and I were talking about it. It's particularly galling, but a number of people who consider themselves liberal or progressive, well, the false narrative is making the rounds, and it started out as a claim that was retweeted by none other than Corona Caligula, that there have been only 9,000 COVID deaths where it was COVID alone that killed someone. And so that should be the real measure of the death count, because all the other deaths had some sort of comorbidity included. Asthma, diabetes, COPD, atherosclerosis, you name it. If there's a comorbidity out there, the coronavirus can make it ever so much worse. And even on our side, people are going, yeah, I mean, let's take our masks off. And oh, God, the uniform, the sparkle fart propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol is so, well, they're Simon Simple and Simon Pure. And the other side is, well, you saw at the Cool Kids Conclave, you saw how they felt about it. News arrived today that the first attendee at the 80th annual bike week in Sturgis has gone on to the great beyond, a Minnesota man. That individual will surely be joined by others because of the tens of thousands of people there. You may recall that I was positively furious a few weeks back when the geniuses in the Fayette County Board of Education, here where I live, decided to hold three separate in-person graduation ceremonies for three of the high schools here, one of them being about 8 miles up the road from me. And the subsequent photos showed all kinds of hillbillies just standing all together and LARPing and a-smollicking and grabulating and lollygagging and spraying and spewing and hooting and hollering all over each other. And you could play Where's Waldo trying to find somebody wearing a mask the right way. Yeah, Jesus. And, well, as mentioned on the program last night, we've turned red. And now we can't play no football. And make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice is highly upset. In no way, shape, form, or fashion did I ever want us not to be a playing of the football. Of course, what he's worried about is that this will continue until it affects the girls' high school basketball season. Because while he is, in fact, governor of the state of West Virginia, in many ways, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice considers the fact that he is the coach of a high school girls basketball team probably to be the most important job that he has. But thanks to the Fayette County Board of Education, our cases are climbing. And the number itself is tiny compared to other communities, but so too is our population. And our change rate is, for a little place like this, terrifying. And now the Maggot administration has informed states to be ready to roll out their vaccine websites as of, I'm not kidding, November 1st. The Centers for Disease Control, which itself is controlled by the maggots now and cannot be trusted, has informed states to be fully operational for a COVID vaccine by November 1. According to McClatchy, D.C., in an August 27th letter, Dr. Robert Redfield, the director of the CDC, wrote, CDC urgently requests your assistance in expediting applications for these distribution facilities, and if necessary, asks that you consider waiving requirements that would prevent these facilities from becoming fully operational by November 1st, 2020. Chiming in, the New York Times said that the CDC has notified public health officials in all 50 states and five large cities to prepare to distribute a coronavirus vaccine to healthcare workers and other high-risk groups as soon as late October or early November. The New York Times observed that this is raising concerns over politicized timing. Curiously, August the 27th, the same day the letter came out from the CDC, well, that was when Nitwit Nero stood there in the White House and said, we will produce a vaccine before the end of the year, or maybe even sooner. And they're just going to, the vaccine is probably just going to be a little mini bottle of rebranded, repurposed, rebottled. It's going to be an airline bottle of fucking Trump vodka that's been sitting in a warehouse somewhere for a decade or more. Yeah. So here it comes. There'll be some shitty stimulus check, and then a claim that there's a real live, honest to God, no kidding, vaccine. And that is how COVID Caligula plans to win re-election. Oh, really? And gosh, how many Atne Ute Itebrays in this country do we have that'll fall for that? Damnation. Watch out, because here it comes. And the other part of this, and this was part of a discussion I was having offline earlier today. After November 3rd, you see, these amoral freaks, the maggots, led by the maggot in chief himself, so despise their own followers that they don't care if they die after November 3rd. The whole point is to get the maggots to go out and vote in person on November 3rd, so that on the night of November 3rd, Nitwit Nero can declare himself the winner based on an incomplete count of votes. And they are then launching challenges. For instance, our buddy Irwin in Montana pointed out today that they're getting ready to, if not already suing Montana, for trying to make mail-in voting easier during a pandemic. And that will be, well, that'll be the end of this country if he gets away with it. Yeah. Oh, Brother Deacon Asa, on some things I touched on. Drive-through confessional. Confession my left hind foot. This is a God-fearing, upstanding Baptist congregation. We ain't no Mary worshipers here. We gotta adapt and change with the times, Brother Deacon. And as far as we're all number 42, Joey, Says Asa, we're all number 45 now. How about that? Sparky says, my 49ers are going to be staying at the Greenbrier in between playing the Giants and then playing the Jets week 2 and 3. And well, I hope they can stay safe. Got no business playing, but they're, you know, the NFL can't even control the spread. But hey, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice will rake some nice coin into his pocket. Because, of course, that facility there at the Greenbrier belongs to make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice. Now, let me tell you, I am just pleased as punch to have the San Francisco 49ers staying at my little lodging there at the Greenbrier. It's a humble abode, but in no way, shape, form, or fashion would we ever not want the 49ers to stay with us, even though they're from a godless heathen city like San Francisco, and all you got to do is listen to Donald Trump, and he'll tell you how all the streets in San Francisco are covered with the poopy. Meanwhile, out in West Tennistan, Don says, mail it, talking about the envelope, prepaid envelope for Trump. A brick works good. I've tried it. You just need to wrap it. You know what? I could put a whole box of bricks. I could put several bricks in a box and just tape the envelope to the box. Wonder if they'd accept that at the post office. Bill in Allentown says, subject line, Nitwit Nero, your impersonation of the Orange Man is getting weirder and weirder. Well, you know what Dr. Hunter S. Thompson said, Bill? When the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. And so, it's kind of in me and in the situation. Billable Rick has awarded a cowbell to Joey for Giraffe and Joey's Journal for this second day of September. I concur in the assessment. Jack in Shreveport says, send soup to Trump. Of course, it must be borscht. Well played. And the nice thing is, borscht is meant to be served cold. And it is very cold in space. Well, there's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening, so we've got that out of the way. And we got to get into the prayer meeting Wednesday stuff, but oh my God, there's just some stuff out there that's damn weird. Bill, I mean, you know, you kind of nailed it. The gimlet-eyed former White House spokes creep, Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags, has done writ herself a book. It's probably got a lot of pages, and I'm sure she writ it with her own brains. Sixth grade education and all. Former White House spokes creep Jethreen Bodine. It's called, and don't worry about running out and buying it. You'll be able to get it for 75 cents at Dollar Tree in about 6 months. Because it'll be purchased en masse by right-wing AstroTurf organizations and set out as a premium to the suckers, purchasers. And then what remains will be distributed to Dollar Trees and Dollar Generals all around the country. And it'll go for, well, a buck, not 75 cents. Lee in New York with a note, stop it, Bob. Here's how the bloated blob will see the election results. He loses big because of voter fraud. He loses by a little because of voter fraud. He wins by a little. He would have won by a lot except for the voter fraud. And he wins by a lot, and it would have been more except for the voter fraud. Precisely. Remember, he disputed the fact that he lost by lost the popular vote by 3 million, claiming that it was because massive busloads of people were driven from Massachusetts into New Hampshire. Completely missing the whole idea that he is roundly and soundly despised by a vast majority of people all up and down the Pacific coast of the United States. Mm-hmm. Republicans, what the fuck, says Silent R. A message to the Republican Capitalist Party. What do you do when the people of the capital of a capitalist consumer country die off and there are no more consumers? And where do you get your money then? From immigrants? Name me what immigrants are willing to come here with no social programs to aid them. No rich immigrant, i.e. white, is going to come here to die as a poor person. Republicans, please understand, our economy is based on people having money to send. That? What? Yeah. But anyway, Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags, former White House spokescreep Jethreen Bodine, speaking for myself, and The Guardian has done a not so much a review as a rundown of one particularly wacky account in it. And it has to do with the remember when Nitwit Nero did what no other American president would do, and that was lend the legitimacy of the presidency of the United States to a brutal dictator who starves his own people? I'm talking about, of course, North Korean maximum supreme leader Kim Jong-bad golf pants. It turns out that Kim and Sarah had a little moment. Yeah. And it sort of begs for a little bit of a little bit of background music. So, the former White House press secretary, in speaking for myself, said that as Trump and Kim talked about sports, including women's soccer,
you know, when you own the soccer team, you can just walk right into the dressing room. They can be naked and stuff, but they can't say anything about it because, you know, you own them.
And as they talked about women's soccer, Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags said that as she looked up, she saw North Korean leader for life, Kim Jong, bad golf pants, staring at her.
We made direct eye contact, and Kim nodded and appeared to wink at me. I was stunned. I quickly looked down and continued taking notes, because that's what a properly raised Southern girl from a Bible college in Arkansas does. She looks down, she averts her eyes. She doesn't want to look him straight in the eyeballs, because you don't do that when you're a good Baptist girl from Arkansas, from near Dardanelle in Gill County. She leaves out the part where she was all blushing. All I could think was, what just happened? Surely Kim Jong-un did not just mark me.
Well, Jethreen, if he could have gotten a stepladder and climbed on up to your massive height, he probably would have latched onto your neck like a daggum suckerfish. You know he would have. Because, well, when love is in the air, there's no getting around it.
No. So later on, they're in the Presidential Beast limousine. And by the way, that's Kim Jong-un's handle on Tinder, Beast. And she told the story in front of her boss and John Kelly. Yep. And she was embarrassed and she blushed again because Trump looked at her and said, well, Kim Jong-un hit on you. He did. He fucking hit on you. And so, yes, make no mistake, the word fucking is going to appear in the book by the good little girl from the Baptist Bible College in Arkansas up there at Near Dardanelle in Yell County. Yeah. And they teased her, you know, just like happens in sixth grade when you get your first crush. They teased her, Trump and John Kelly did. He agreed. And like I said, she blushed because she's a good little Baptist girl. And she said, sir, please stop. And Nitwit Nero said, well, Sarah, that settles it. You're going to North Korea and taking one for the team. Your husband and kids will miss you, but you'll be a hero to your country. Quit it. Maybe he didn't wink at me. Oh, no, he's definitely inviting you to the 7th grade prom. Sarah and Unny sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes nukes, then comes marriage. Yeah. Here comes Sarah pushing a baby carriage. ...2020 never was very funny. But this is just getting too damn weird for words. Honest it. Quit it. I didn't wink. Did you wink back, Sarah? Did you? How could he tell you with that one bad eye there? He probably winked at you because he thought you was winking at him because of your gimlet eye. Jack in Shreveport. Kim and Sarah, I guess reports should be coming into the horn on whose dinners have been ruined. This would be dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone that just really... God, I mean, that's enough to have people just, you know, flinging the dinnerware. Well, I suspect I'll get a little bit of correspondence over that bit of madness. Because, see, it's not just real time that we ruin meals. I may have, for all I know, I may have just ruined breakfast in Indonesia. Or who knows where. Lunch in Minsk. Sometime tomorrow. Midnight snack in Vietnam. I don't know if Terry's listening live or not. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that one, Stockton Larry. Nope, sorry, can't do that. Ay, ay, ay. Stephen New York points out, don't tell me Democrats aren't motivated and intense. Our next president raised $364 million in August alone. The previous record was $193 million. Let's hope that continues because, well, you can't expect to win in a capitalist political system without a lot of capital. Lord, I'm almost afraid to go to sleep tonight. I'm going to have dreams about Kim Jong-un and Sarah Hasselbeck sandbags and her gimlet eye. Help me. But we need to move on to the topic at hand,
And by the way, Silent R. Lamar sending an apology. Sorry, Bob. Drunk typing and keyboard error. Me. Work with me. Bourbon typing's hard. My fingers can't keep up with my thinking. Oh, what the hell? Horn family knows what I meant. And for the movie, V for Vendetta. Okay. The judges will accept that answer, Silent R. And by the way, note coming from Dave number 11. Forgive me, Pastor Bob, for I have sinned. I trolled a post on the Horns Facebook page. I wrote false in order to garner debate, just like the Russians do. It didn't work, but it's a sin nonetheless. It was a terrible transgression, and I'm full of contrition. Please tell me what I must do to make amends. Well, it seems like that you already have. You may recall the conversation regarding Henry's Spanish olives from up in Humboldt County. There's a new flavor out for those of you who can get there to get them. And Dave has been singing their praises, and he's got me fairly salivating, waiting, because there are two jars of Henry's new flavor. Henry's Spanish-style fermented garlic oregano Sevillano olives are on winging their way to me. And do you hear this? Not quite as engaging as a Spanish castanet. But that is the sound of my olive pitter, and it is here and at the ready. And I can't wait. Stephen, New York, Kim Jong-un and Sarah. Given that Jong-un is Kim's given name in the same way that Sarah is Huckabee's given name, we should refer to them as Sarah and Jong-un, or Sarah and Jong, or Huckabee and Kim. Oh, it all gets so damned complicated. There I was just trying to make it funny. And it's still pretty fucking funny when you get right down to Jesus Christ. Especially when you realize that it's not going to show up in the pages of her book, but, you know, I've got this one eye. And he obviously thought I was winking, and I looked up at him, and there, and he winks back at me. And there's a terrible joke out there. I'm not going to tell it. It could potentially be feeling hurting, but just understand the punchline ends with, and the guy says, "Would I? Would I?" Thank you, Steve. Yes, it was still pretty fucking funny. Good. I'm glad. Oh, there's an idea. That may help. The dreams lately, the dreams. Lee in New York says, sleep recommendation. Don't think of anything disgusting when you go to sleep. Get ready for bed. Look through a cookbook. Have a savory dream while you sleep. Yum, yum. Agnes, in fact, turned me on to something really cool. I think it's called Tasting History. It's a YouTube channel, and the guy's pretty good, and she showed me this one video. There's the most popular seasoning in ancient Rome was a sauce called garum, G-A-R-U-M. And it all began with a video called Add This Stinky Ingredient for Amazing Chicken, Asafoetida. And I'll bet you Flavio is already typing away, having tasted dishes made with asafoetida. But we moved on from that to how to make garum. And garum, of course, is fish sauce. And it really is a stinky affair, but the Romans just loved it. And so I actually went to sleep last night thinking about Roman cooking. And the asafoetida dish, the chicken dish, is actually in the Roman text referred to as Parthian chicken. And for I've never had anything made with asafoetida. It is apparently a central to South Asian spice. But it is referred to colloquially, because I read up on it some. Actually, I was just reading the comments to the YouTube video. In Poland, it is simply referred to as the devil's dung. It must stink something fierce. But, so, yeah, the upshot is, Lee, it didn't help. But I saw something, oh my God, I saw a TikTok or whatever video, because there's a lot of food porn on TikTok. And it's got to happen. It's a bone-in ribeye, and when I get done describing this, Brother Deacon Asa will probably be weeping and wailing and begging us to stop talking about all this, and we're a mite early for the food porn portion of the program. That's right, Brother Deacon Asa noting, Ree, Kim, and Sarah, dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone just took one for the team. Yeah. But I saw this thing, and Agnes and I just watched the TikTok video over and over and over again. It was a bone-in so-called tomahawk ribeye. And it was two or three bones. So, but it had been wrapped and tied with uncured pork belly and then grilled to a crispy, beautiful, wonderful crust on either side. And when Agnes saw it, she went, she gasped audibly. And she doesn't do that over food porn. That she went, ah. And I went, I know. She said, how do we do this? I said, leave it to me. I'll figure it out. But we got to get a pork belly. And they're hard to come by. Because here in West Virginia, most of your pork bellies have already been turned into bacon. But that's a future project. But I'll have to save up nickels for a slap year to be able to buy a ribeye that looks like that, and then get, and then somehow or another find the pork belly and make that all, oh my God. And then when they cut into it, the whole thing was just this beautiful, rare wonder. And the pork belly was done, but the meat, the beef was, oh. And suddenly, as if by a miracle, I could smell and taste horseradish. And it was amazing. Yeah, oh well. But hey, we found our way to the end of the first hour of the program, and that's a good thing. We got $65 to go to finish the evening's fundraising, thanks to early contributors to the program. Thank you so very kindly. And I do. I've got some prayer meeting Wednesday stuff to get to, but there's just so damn much regular news. Newsweek with a story by Matthew Impelli. Folks in a Wisconsin town, Wauwatosa, have been getting anonymous correspondence, letters. According to a report from, yes, WDJ-TV, WDJT-TV, makes me wonder if this is, it makes me wonder if this is for real. Really? WDJT-TV, Donald J. Trump TV? What? Recipients of the letter have a yard sign in front of their homes which reads, "For sale unless politicians keep TOSA safe." Paid for by TOSA taxpayers, fed up with mayor and city council. The signs are meant to criticize Wauwatosa Mayor Dennis McBride for his response to ongoing protests in the city following the police shooting of Alvin Cole, a 17-year-old from Milwaukee. Many protesters have called for the firing of the officer who fatally shot Cole. Probably should happen. As the protests in Wauwatosa have continued, tensions between the protesters and police have escalated, prompting several arrests and leading McBride to impose a city ordinance prohibiting protests past 8 p.m. local time. That brings us to the letter. Dear white Wauwatosa resident, keep Wauwatosa free from blacks. We hope that this letter finds you in good health. We just wanted to touch base. Thank you for purchasing and proudly displaying the yard sign. Your support of our common cause is greatly needed and appreciated. We whites must stand together. We must keep Wauwatosa free from blacks and their lack of morals. Morals, by the way, is spelled M-O-R-E-L-S. Yes, yes, black people do not have morals. You know, little mushrooms. You can find them in the spring of the year. They tend to grow near poplar and beech groves. And I can't remember if it's the shady side or the sunny side of a hill. I'll bet you Dave number 11 can help us. Well, I'll be darned, it is a real TV station, according to Ralph, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Committee. CBS 58, WDJT-TV. Well, it's prayer meeting Wednesday, so we've got an entry from the goddess of irony. Blacks have no mushrooms. We must keep blacks from destroying our property, raping our wives and daughters, and recruiting our children into street gangs. We must keep Wauwatosa great. Together, we can keep Wauwatosa white. Because you know what? Wauwatosa is definitely an old Anglo-Saxon word. Nah. I guarantee you it's an old Anishinaabe word, Ojibwe. And somehow I don't think it means keep the let's let white people have this place. Together we can keep Wauwatosa white. Together we can keep Wauwatosa safe. Signed by Whites for Wauwatosa. Well, I know I can spot Klan rhetoric when I see it. I've got a long-standing ability to do so. And it would appear that Wauwatosa has some filthy fucking Klansmen in their midst. No doubt. And what did I see about what robocalls? Yeah, it's real. WDJT-TV. Thanks, Steve. The only garam I know, says Flavio, is garam masala. Well, it's not that. I'm just surprised, Flavio, that you weren't up on your asafoetida. It does apparently stink like grim death or like the devil's dung, but makes things tasty, I guess. Steve in New York pointing out, rumor has it Mr. Kim's nickname for Sarah was My Little Popeye. She was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. Never mind. No, I read something earlier today about robocalls, racist robocalls. This may take a second. Okay, we did the Minnesota biker. Okay, well, there's that, too, from a little while back. The Trump campaign has been accepting dozens of donations from a person described as a notorious neo-Nazi. $2,000 over time from Morris Gullett, G-U-L-L-E-T-T. Maybe it's Goulet because he's from Louisiana. And he runs an Aryan Nations chapter there. They've been taking donations from him since December 2017 and have received more than 29 such donations. And, well, regardless, they're not sending the money back. He runs a hustle called the Church of Jesus Christ Christian. That's funny. And he's a neo-Nazi. And Peter Zeev has also given to the Trump campaign, sued by the state of Washington for discrimination against people who would apply for jobs with him. And he would then harangue his employees with these racist views. Going so far as to offer a $1,000 procreation bonus to employees of his who were white if they would have a baby, because Zeev, is worried about dark-skinned people outpopulating the white folks. Yeah, really. Oh, I know. I've stepped in it now. I'll be hearing from the phone company. Randy in PA says, how dare you, Bob? The phone company doesn't call them robocalls. They call them unwanted calls. Of course, everyone else calls them robocalls. Unless they're on behalf of, say, illegitimate white supremacist adjacent Florida Governor Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis, in which case you refer to them as Nazi robocalls. Ah, there's the robocall story. Thank you for being so quick on the uptake, Steve in New York. Detroit and Chicago hit with misleading and racist robocalls discouraging mail-in voting. This from CNN. Because there's no degree of rat-fucking that's too low to go for a Republican. It's just who they are. Elected officials in Michigan and Illinois say a racially charged robocall has been targeting voters this week with misinformation about mail-in balloting. Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson tweeted out a recording of the call on Thursday. And, you know, this really is just typical Republican behavior. Give a listen.
From Project 1599, a civil rights organization founded by Jack Berkman and Jacob Wool. Mail-in voting sounds great, but did you know that if you vote by mail, your personal information will be part of a public database that will be used by police departments to track down old warrants and be used by credit card companies to collect outstanding debt? The CDC is even pushing to use records for mail-in voting to track people for mandatory vaccines. Don't be finessed into giving your private information to the man. Stay safe and beware of vote by mail.
The man. The man. And this is, of course, one of the oldest, nastiest pieces of filth that the Republicans have relied on for years. And that is the attempt to intimidate black voters away from the polls, with threats of the threats of law enforcement, threats of debt collection, and now, of course, they've gone anti-vaxxer because, you know, Bill Gates will use that to put a chip in you to track the Rona. But the kick on it is who it comes from, because it announces that it's from a civil rights organization founded by. Did you hear the names? Jack Berkman and Jacob Wohl? Well, these are a pair of turds, right-wing maggot turds, who have spent the last several years creating scams. It was Jack Berkman and Jacob Wohl, for instance, who paid a woman to say that Dr. Fauci raped her, and have paid other women to say that they were raped by Robert Mueller, for instance. And somehow or another, these fuckers managed to stay out of prison when, if, well, you know, it's a classic case of I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. And the problem with these things is that by the time they go out, you know, we're talking about people working the margins of an election. In an election that may wind up being a matter of a percentage point or some fraction of a percentage point, any person you can keep away from the polls is another vote less for your opponent. That's the way they figure it. That's why the Nazis stepped in on behalf of Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, who wound up beating Andrew Gillum by less than one half of one percentage point in Florida. It was a tiny number of votes, and without those Nazi robocalls, Ron Monkey Up DeClantis is not governor of Florida. And I sincerely hope that Michigan's badass attorney general and secretary, and as well as Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, will go after these two these two deviant clowns with a will. And of course, the calls are going out primarily in Detroit and Chicago. Secretary of State Benson has said that she will work with the Michigan Attorney General to seek justice on behalf of every voter who was targeted and harmed by this vicious attempt at voter suppression. Alderman Pat Dowell said that voters in Chicago were also targeted by these disgusting little fucking racists. Alderman Dowell said this was an attempt to suppress, in my case, my community, an African-American community, solidly Democratic, suppress voter turnout in this upcoming general election. It's unfortunate that the powers that be, or whoever's behind this, would stoop so low to keep people from voting their choice this election, which is very, very important. God damned Alderman Dowell. Please, you have to understand who these scumbags are. And they are scumbags. Scumbags. And there will be more and more and more of this between now and November 3rd. Oh, and this is just a program note. Based on requests, this past weekend I did upload the missing program from last week where we went 2 hours and the program didn't record, and our buddy Bob in North Carolina, Stan, had recorded it. So on Saturday I loaded it into White Rose and Podbean as a show posting on Saturday, and of course we don't do programs on Saturday because, like I was talking to Scott about last night, at this point in time I actually need those couple of days just to sort of stick my head in a bucket of ice water and cool it off. So it's there for you if you want to hear the first 2 hours. Our buddy David, formerly of San Francisco and now of Mill Valley, which is a lovely community, by the way. Congratulations on moving to Mill Valley, David. Said that the the line from Nimrata Haley about being a brown girl in a black and white world. David said, heck, that didn't even get covered on our Filthy Morning Habit. Well, something, it's just a matter of what, of what people think is important. And I thought that was important. Call me skeptical, says Steve in New York. I'm skeptical. I don't think this robocall is what we think it is. I think it's a ruse. I wonder if the GOP didn't float this with Wohl's and Berkman's name so that they can then claim it was the Democrats who did it because it's too obvious that they would put their name on it. The fact that it names them tells me that this is less about voter suppression than it is to say that the Democrats and probably Antifa are trying to sabotage Republicans. No, that's Steve, please. Sometimes obvious things are just obviously what they are. And Berkman and Wohl are some monumental fuck-ups, and this is their modus operandi. This is how they are. I mean, when they paid the woman to say that Anthony Fauci raped her, she wound up with a recording of Jacob Wohl admitting everything that she said they had done. This is Wohl and Berkman. And again, it's all about the margins. If you can get two or three people not to vote, you're that much closer to victory in an election where you start out, in Trump's case, with 33 to 35, 40% of people who are going to vote for you hell or high water and are willing to die for you by going and voting in person. Steve adds, back at Church of Jesus Christ Christian, back in 1996 when I worked for a congressman from Southern Ohio, we received a request for an Academy nomination, and the kid attended the Church of Jesus Christ Christian. The woman in the district office read it with affection until I told her that it was a white supremacist church. Look at that. An attempt to infiltrate the military with white supremacists. Mill Valley asks Ron in Raleigh. That's where B.J. Honeycutt lived in MASH. I thought he was in Korea. No, I get it. It's a lovely place to be from. Been there once and was absolutely charmed by it. You know, just across the Golden Gate Bridge in wonderful, wonderful Marin County. Now, shall we get to the point of this whole prayer meeting Wednesday? I suggest we should. And just a prophecy moment. You remember last week when we were talking about hashtag Cucky Jerry? Well, I mentioned the history of Falwell v. Hustler and even read the ad copy of the ad that Falwell sued Larry Flint over and lost. Well, yesterday, the Daily Beast, because, you know, we just don't have the kind of power here to reach out to a Larry Flint and say, you know, hey, how about writing something for the website? Yesterday, the Daily Beast published an op-ed from none other than Larry Flint. And he said everything I expected him to, and some that I didn't. When I heard that Jerry Falwell Jr. had resigned the presidency of Liberty University in disgrace, it struck me as the belated ending to a long personal saga with the Falwell clan, and an essential footnote to the role of religion and free speech in America. For those unfamiliar with ancient history, it began in the 1970s, soon after I started publishing Hustler. Jerry Falwell Sr., then head of the Moral Majority Christian Interest Group, sued me for libel and the intentional infliction of emotional distress over a Hustler parody or of a Campari ad that used the liqueur slogan, "You'll never forget your first time." The parody featured an interview with Falwell waxing nostalgic about his first time with his mother in a Virginia outhouse. The legal battle lasted 5 years from 83 to 88, including three decisions against me in federal courts. Finally, I was vindicated by the Supreme Court in a unanimous decision written by conservative Chief Justice William Rehnquist. This is the part that kind of blew me away. Ironically, Falwell Sr. and I actually became friends later. We enjoyed many cordial visits, participated in debates across the country, and even exchanged Christmas cards. I have to concede that his friendship with me proves that, for the most part, he was practicing an essential tenet of his faith, forgiveness, and was a sincere Christian. I take issue with that part. What did he have to forgive Larry Flint for? Not a goddamn thing. It was labeled as a parody, and anyone who took it as a realistic suggestion that Jerry Falwell had had sex with his mother in an outhouse, well, that was on them, not on Larry Flint. But having said, I think that's just the setup for what he was about to say. You know, Falwell is a sincere Christian. Which is more, Flint writes, than can be said for many of his fellow televangelists, the sorry parade of charlatans like Jim Baker, Jimmy Swaggart, Paula White, and all the other primetime Elmer Gantries, including the son, Jerry Falwell Jr. They're obsessed above all with sexual behavior, ignoring and subverting the core message of Christianity, humility and compassion for the downtrodden, while embracing prosperity gospel, which is to say the gospel of greed, above all other values. They support Republican politicians eager to gut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, welfare, and other programs designed to do what Jesus Christ strived for, the reduction of human suffering in this vale of tears. They live in multi-million dollar mansions and fly around in private jets while fleecing their flock for prayer donations guaranteed to cure incurable diseases and afflictions. They forget that Jesus Christ only lost his temper and acted violently once when driving the moneylenders from the temple. But they're not troubled in the least by the banksters on Wall Street, who hoovered up millions from middle-class Americans, granting the 1% a get-out-of-jail-free card to do it all over again. Instead, these televangelists reserve the whip for gays, women who want to control their own bodies, pot smokers, and other heretics who are only trying to lead fulfilling lives. They actually work to increase the sum of human suffering. They are peddlers of religious snake oil. And then he used the magic word. Eventually, the gross hypocrisy catches up with many of them, such as the case with Jerry Falwell Jr., now accused of having engaged in a 7-year-long cuckold relationship with his wife and a Miami hotel pool attendant. Jerry Jr. acknowledges the affair, but claims that he was not involved. The pool attendant disputes this, saying that they invited him to a hotel room and offered him a partnership in a real estate venture. Perhaps a strange offer for one cleaning swimming pools for a living. You know, the photo of Jerry and another woman, not his wife, with their pants unzipped. Before this, Larry Flint reminds us, Jerry Jr. was forced to apologize for a tweet portraying one person in blackface and another in a KKK outfit. It's a good piece. And it's damned interesting that Larry Flint knows more about the actual message of Jesus H. Christ than does Jerry Falwell or, God knows, probably 99% of evangelical Christians. But, and this is where I got really excited, oh mercy, we have a Jesse Lee sighting. Yes, we haven't heard anything from Jesse Lee Peterson in a while. And, of course, we haven't heard from him since John Lewis passed away. And he said that John Lewis was evil. Yeah. Oh, wow. Thank you. Good. Well, the one time I got to actually hug a redwood was in Marin County. Cynthia writes, gosh, there's some really nice and gorgeous hiking in the Marin Headlands, too. Hope I can get back to doing that again someday. I do, too. And if you get near a redwood, Cynthia, hug it for me. I'd appreciate it. As a teenager, I first learned of the existence of Marin County, reading Gary Snyder. Marin On was the poem. And I learned about him reading Jack Kerouac. Rusty says, Mill Valley, in the 70s, I think there was a hit song in Bay Area. A class of grade school students recorded a song called Mill Fly. Check it out. It's so sweet. Cool. Thanks. Going back to Wauwatosa and the white folks. Lee in New York informs us the town was named for the Potawatomi chief Wauwatosa, and the Potawatomi word for firefly, which still light up our summer nights. And you know, did you know that they're threatened? We've screwed up the planet so badly that the lovely little fireflies are threatened. Damn. Flavio says the Flint letter brought to mind this Lou Reed song, Sex with Your Parents, Motherfucker, Part 2, Lou Reed. I have the album. I'll listen to it after the program. Thanks, Flavio. But yes, we have a Jesse Lee Peterson sighting. And these are always fun on a prayer meeting Wednesday. And speaking of another song, there's that tune out there, Try a Little Tenderness. What's the lyric? There we go. It's an Otis Redding classic. Oh, she may be weary. Young girls, they do get wearied. Wearing that same old shaggy dress. Yeah, yeah. But when she gets weary, try a little tenderness. Yeah, yeah. And that, of course, there's an eponymous scene from Bull Durham where Kevin Costner's character becomes absolutely pissed because I think it's Nuke is trying to sing Try a Little Tenderness and it just doesn't work out.
They get woolly. Young girls, they do get woolly because of all the stress. Yeah. When they get woolly, try a little tenderness, yeah.
Stop it.
Thank you.
What? It's not woolly. Nobody gets woolly. Women get weary. They don't get woolly.
Nobody's got stress. They're wearing a dress. God damn, I hate people that get the words wrong.
Yes! 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 But then again, I'm famous among my friends for having for years thought that Stevie Nicks was singing just like a one-winged dove saying, ooh, baby, ooh, baby, ooh. Because I figured a one-winged dove, first of all, Stevie Nicks, she mumbles when she sings.
Just like a one-winged dove.
And I thought it was one-winged dove. And I thought if a dove was one-winged, it would say, ooh, baby, because it hurts only having one wing.
Just like a one-winged dove.
It was years before I found out it was a white-winged dove. Boy, did I feel silly. But the reason I mentioned, the reason we just had this little digression is that Jesse Lee is worried about men that might enter into relationships with intelligent women. Which leads me to think that Jesse Lee is probably not a Grateful Dead fan. Not by a long shot. No. That's the problem with the Dead. You got to go forever until you find somebody singing.
Some say men, I say no. We even got the men like a puppet show. We need me. It's the people that say men are leading the women to stay. I say it's the wheel of the day. Smaller than the men everywhere. That's right. The women are smarter. That's right. The women are smarter.
Yep. I first became aware of it because Deadhead. Yeah. But this worries Jesse Lee Peterson. Of course it does. And well, he has a moral duty, you know, as a moral leader to warn men against those smart women.
I don't know why a man would marry a woman today, especially an educated woman, whether with the Bible or without the Bible, educated with secular education, right? Because women don't cook, they don't iron, they don't sew, they don't want to stay home and take care of the children, they don't want to make a meal, they don't want to cook breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And that's...
Wait, really? And if... Am I getting that? So, an intelligent, educated, secular, educated woman doesn't want to be. Help me here. The personal servant to Jesse Lee Peterson, who somehow or another still has a microphone he talks into. Right? Oh, I hope Tracy's not listening. I mean, don't get me wrong. I adore Tracy. And Tracy loves everybody. But there are just moments when you don't want Tracy to be... And any Jesse Lee Peterson clip is a time when you don't want Tracy listening to this program.
Take care of the children. They don't want to make a meal. They don't want to cook breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And that's what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, they're supposed to be doing, right. And I'll tell you, because this is radio and theater of the mind, Jesse at this point in time is wearing a bright yellow T-shirt that bears the statement, "It's okay to be a man." And it seems that only the maggots and the right-wingers think that it isn't. And I got nothing. Suman caught that one on the fly. Jesse Lee Peterson. His first sentence was, "I don't know why a man would marry a woman. This idiot is playing out his inner fantasies here." Oh, is there something you want to tell us, Jesse Lee? Really? No, because, well, I mean, maybe it's his inner fantasies, but I'd like to think, the gay portion of the Horn Family Community Congregation, the gay male portion of the congregation, can feel free to chime in here. I'd like to think that while it may be Jesse Lee Peterson's fantasy not to marry a woman, that there's no self-respecting gay man out there who would have him even, you know, fallen down dead drunk with enough, you know, with enough ecstasy, LSD, and horse tranquilizer running through him to paralyze a fucking whale, that it just can't happen. Oh, back to Jerry Jr. Your definition of fun, says Ron in Raleigh. It's a far cry from mine. Anyway, I wouldn't take too much solace in Jerry Jr. exiting stage right. You know as well as I do, these evangelical shitheels are like a stubborn floater. They may go down, but they float back to the top. Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart come to mind. True. They're like a dose of the clap. They're awfully hard to get rid of, and usually somebody has to die. P.S., says Ron and Raleigh, John Lewis, he dead. Yeah, I know. Jesse Lee from Stephen, New York, speaking for the entire gay male population of the at least the Western Hemisphere. Stephen, New York, says Jesse Lee, no. That's all, just no. Lee in New York says, Jesse, it's okay to be a man. It's just not okay to be stupid. Jesse Lee, no. Steve adds, he has a mic to talk into and an ass to talk out of. Yeah, Jesse Lee suffers from Ed Zachary disease. You know, your face looks exactly like you're right. Jeremy says, but Bob, isn't the real question, does a one-winged dove actually fly? Well, she doesn't say anything about it flying, just about how it hoots or coos or whatever, and says, ooh, baby, ooh, said ooh. The Horn Research Department will have to get on the lyric and see if I'm right or wrong on that. I always assumed it wasn't able to. Back to Jesse Lee. Remember, this guy has an audience. There are people who actually, if you can imagine, they say, hey, and they're not doing it ironically. They're not doing it like we would because it's just funny. They're doing it because they take him seriously, and he's a good, God-fearing, upstanding, fine, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian man. But they exist. Aw, Brother Deacon Asa dug up the picture of me hugging the little baby redwood out in Muir Woods. Aw. I don't even know if I've still got that picture. Might be on a phone that died. That's nice. Happy times. I hope to hug more redwoods someday. Thanks, Brother Deacon. I'll have to remember and save that after the program. All right, get back and get the hockey puck. We're getting back into it.
And that's what they're supposed to be doing. They are the vice president of the man. They watch over his children, his home. They make sure everything run well while he's away providing. And when you get home, the vice president report to the president what happens. And if he needs to discipline the children or whatever, he would take care of it. But educated women, whether they're educated with the word in the beginning, that was the word, or secular, they don't make for good wives. It's like, when you get with a woman now and you happen to marry her, it's just for sex only. And if she's educated, even the sex is boring. Because you got to be, are you okay? Is this movement right? Am I working too fast here or too slow? You got to talk them through it, you know.
Yeah, that's Jesse Lee, your 15-second man. Of course. Problem is, Jesse Lee, what Jesse Lee probably hears more than anything else is it in yet? Yeah, there. Thank you, Megan. It's called Edge of 17. Yeah, see, there's nothing in there about the white-winged dove flying. So, no, Thanks, Megan, for the lyric. And the word white winged is bolded. I know now. It was just years that I didn't, Megan.
It's like a one winged dove.
Right. Okay, I got a giggle out of Ralph's. LOL, Bob, is it in yet? Shame on me. I ought not make fun of somebody like Jesse. Yes, I should. Yes, I should. God knows I should. Yep, don't want none of them smart women's. Ouch. So I said we'd have an examination of some recent declarations of what it means to commit sin. And I guess it's no surprise that, well, we're all sinners on this bus here at the Horn. Yeah, let's check in with Kenneth Copeland and Stephen Strang, Charisma Magazine founder and CEO. Hope you didn't put the hockey puck away.
It just shows how ungodly these people are, and you know they've used this pandemic to take away our freedoms, which I think is one of the most important reasons to vote for Donald Trump. Because
hold on, they've used the pandemic to take away our freedoms, and yet a lot of other countries were much more stringent and serious about it, and nobody's freedoms are taken away anymore. As noted, 2,500-plus schools reopened yesterday in Wuhan. Europe is still struggling with it, but slowly returning to something resembling normal. But they used the pandemic to take away our freedoms. It's almost as though the pandemic isn't really a pandemic, according to Brother Strang.
He has been a strong defender of religious freedom and of churches and of Christians, and he's been open to counsel from Christian leaders such as yourself. And I've documented, of course, what I'm saying is
Christian.
Not really a secret, but I documented it in several of our books, where you firsthand saw people praying for the president. You went to that nice dinner that he had where he told you that he watched you and Gloria all the time on TV. I mean, you know, he's been a great friend of Christians, yet some Christians nitpick and say he's not a nice guy and they shouldn't vote for him. But the alternative is socialism. It really is socialism. And I never thought I would live long enough to see a socialist of any major party run for president, yet that's what we're dealing with this year.
Why? Not really. I mean, even Bernie is about as socialist as about as socialist as any European centrist. I was going to say Margaret Thatcher, but I wouldn't. Yuck. And he's not that far right wing. But no, there's no socialist running for president this year. At least not as a member of a serious party. Not by a long shot. Mm-mm. Ooh, that's nice. John writing from PA. I always imagined Fleetwood Mac singing "Just Like a Right Wing Turd." Get busy, John. That's a song parody. Jimmy, meanwhile, notes Jesse Lee needs and wants a woman as stupid as he is. And he is stupid. Megan points out Jesse Lee Peterson knows what sex with smart women is like. I'm guessing things that never happened for 1,000 Alex? I don't think he knows what actual sex is like. What's it like? Back to the socialist running for president that Stephen Strang thought he'd never see.
You think so many Christians, yeah, I'm guessing that most of our, my listeners, the people who donate to your ministry, the people who read Charisma magazine, most of them are going to vote for Donald Trump. They just vote for the conservative candidate every time it rolls around. But I also see a lot of apathy, a lot of Christians.
Yeah, they just vote for whoever comes out and thumps the Bible and proves to them that they've never read it. Well, I'm not picking on Stevie Nicks, Darlene. Oh, come on, Bob. Stop picking on Stevie Nicks. Is nothing sacred anymore with you, LOL? Stevie is a national treasure, even if her wild-winged doves are actually white-winged doves. Full disclosure, I struggle with that shit, too. P.S. Yeah, you hope Tracy isn't listening, and you should hope Darlene from Connecticut isn't listening to Jesse Lee Peterson, whatever, either. Too late, as obviously I am listening. Granted, I am somewhat melanin-challenged, as I do have olive skin and can tan in the summer until I'm practically black and proud of it. But holding the opposite end as a straight white woman to dear Tracy, I don't want to cater to no man either. As much as I would love to have a boyfriend or even a hubby, you know, one day, hey, I'm 55 and still alive. Things take time. I understand, and patience is a virtue. I'll try not to bring up the Stevie Nicks story again. But I did bring up the fact that the other day, talking with our pal Joy in Ann Arbor, that speaking of other Steves, I don't know what it is with this program and Steves, moving from Stevie Nicks to Steve Miller, I did point out the fact that Steve Miller once rhymed the word Texas with what the facts is. And it's when we were talking about we were on Facebook talking about the photograph of the church in Beckley that's on the front. It says, "Welcome, Holy Spirit." And on the side of the building, it still says, "Pawn, sell, buy, sell, or trade." And I was trying to work up a Devil Went Down to Georgia parody. Couldn't quite get the rhyme right. And when I mentioned the Steve Miller reference, Joy's a native Texan. She said, "Well, then, artistic license says you can rhyme pawn with, you know, cucky." And I agree. Thank you, Darlene. Hope springs eternal. Keep hope alive. And I'll leave Stevie Nicks alone for a little while. Oh, there's one. Dave number 11, we've started a thing. Song lyrics people don't understand. Dave number 11. "Hold me closer, tiny dancer. Count the headlights on the highway. Lay me dannin, she er flannin. You had to face her day to day. Hold me closer, tiny dancer. Count the headlights on the highway. Lay me down in sheets of linen. You had a busy day today." First version is what Dave number 11 heard. Oh, yeah. Then there's always CCR singing, "Yeah, the bathroom's on the right." Oh, please, let's go back to Kenneth Copeland.
"Register to vote. We're afraid that a lot of Christians will stay home instead of vote. Why do you think there's such apathy in the body of Christ?"
Lack of knowledge. And
it also dribbles out the holes in his hands, but never mind.
"The young ones do not know what socialism is. They don't have a clue. And it's, they don't, at the same time, they do not know what capitalism is."
What I'll be curious is if in the remainder of the clip, and there's not much of it, we find out that Kenneth Copeland knows what socialism is or what capitalism is. Well, we know he knows what capitalism is because that's how he runs his gospel grift, and it's all tax free. Hallelujah! But he thinks socialism is where somebody with a bag of soup comes to your door and demands your Bible and dips it in the soup and then eats your Bible.
Huh. So they're in this never, never land. And so they just listen to the ones that are doing the most talking. But now, let me say something about this, Stephen. I've been around a long time. I'm 83 years old. And I've seen a whole lot come down the road over the years. Any Christian who stays at home and doesn't vote is guilty of murder.
What, Edith, huh?
Every person who votes for someone knowing that they push for abortion and to kill a baby anytime they want to kill it.
Anytime. You know, like it says in the Bible. Anytime. Because it does. It's right there. If a child is disobedient and will not accept correction, thou shalt take him to the city elders and take him outside the city gates and stone him to death. That's what you call killing a baby anytime. Because I have yet to meet a mother who does not... I don't care if the kid's 30 years old and mama's 60 or 70. That's still her baby. But the Democrats won't be able to go out there and kill a baby anytime they want to. Well, so do the people that you worship in that holy book of yours there, Kenneth. And, of course, it doesn't qualify as killing a baby when you engage in support Republican policies like cutting food stamps or letting a pregnant woman die of thirst on the concrete floor of a jail in Milwaukee like Sheriff David Clarkey did. Right. Because Kenneth Copeland's a Christian.
Who votes for someone knowing that they push for abortion and to kill a baby anytime they want to kill it. They're just as guilty as the doctor that performed the abortion.
Yeah, hey, I'm bored. Yeah, I'm bored too. What do you want to do? Let's kill a baby. You know, we're socialist Democrats. We can go out and kill a baby anytime we want to. Can we eat the baby? Sure. Delicious with sweet taters. Fucking assholes. Back to Jesse Lee Peterson. Suman. Obviously, he's so jealous, Bob. With a guy, I guess he thinks he doesn't have to check in every 15 seconds. I know. Ron and Raleigh. Does Jesse Lee know? Family hasn't been able to survive on a single salary since 1977. I guess only religious grifters have enough cheddar to live the Leave It to Beaver life. These so-called Christians won't be satisfied until they become our mullahs. That's true. I mean, they are, fundamentalism. A theocrat is a theocrat is a theocrat. It's the fundamentalism, not the particular faith system, that gets us in trouble. So, yeah, if you don't go out and vote for the guy who grabs women by their genitals against their will, who has 20-plus credible allegations of sexual assault against him, who has ripped off God knows how many people through at least 6 bankruptcies, who ordered children to be kept in concentration camps in cages, you're guilty of murder. And murder, you might recall, well, murder's one of your larger sins. And of course, this is one of those moments where you look at these things. That's true. Randy in PA says, I murder 4 cells every time I rub my eyes.
Oh, didn't they tell you? Don't do that. You'll go blind. Oh, there's a couple more good ones. I didn't know there was a word for that. It's a mondegreen, says past master of the art of word knowing, Flavio. My one-winged dove has kin. A mondegreen is a word or phrase that results from mishearing or misinterpreting a statement or song lyric. Also known as oronyms, O-R-O-N-Y-M-S. For instance, Garth Brooks sings, I'm not big on social graces. And apparently a lot of people heard, I'm not big on sausage gravy. Or Bob Dylan. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. And it some people heard, the ants are my friends, they're blowing in the wind. Or one of my particular favorites, and they even turned it into an episode of the Powerpuff Girls. It was the one where Mojo Jojo hooked up with the Yoko Ono character, and I think that was what it was. Someday monkey no play piano song, play piano song. Yeah, the French phrase from Michel. Yeah. Thanks for the new word. I've learned something new. Thank you, Flavio. If we're in Never Never Land, Jeremy in Vermont adds, Kenneth Copeland's definitely Captain Hook. Does that mean Jim Baker's Tinkerbell? Never mind. No, they're getting their stories together in advance of November. You just heard Kenneth Copeland say that you're guilty of murder if you vote for Joe Biden, even though children have died in cages down in the concentration camps that were ordered put in place by Donald Trump. Right? I apologize, Bob, says Brother Deacon Asa. Is it just me, or does this clown talking to beady-eyed Kenneth Copeland sound like a tall drink of water? I can't help but hear Lady G in his voice. I'm leaving that alone. All references to anything setting off anybody's gaydar is exclusively the province of the gay community within the Horn Family Community Congregation. No, so voting for Joe Biden is murder. And apparently the talking point this week has been, or in the last week or so, has been, it's going to be a sin if you vote for Biden. Consider John Zmirak. I'd like to buy a vowel. John Zmirak, Z-M-I-R-A-K. He went on the Eric Metaxas radio show a week ago, and he, too, made clear what a vote for Joe Biden is, at least in the fetid, thin, gray settlings that slosh around between his ears and pass for brains. Yeah. John Zmirak. Mm-hmm.
We're living in sick times. My wife and I keep saying, if we didn't trust in God...
Wait, we do live in sick times, Eric Metaxas. And the sickness is called COVID-19. But you oppose the idea of mask mandates. And just because it's theater of the mind, I can tell you that on the video here, the audio of which we're about to hear, he actually has a bobblehead in the foreground of the video of the MyPillow huckster. I know, because he's hugging the pillow.
We would be in real despair right now.
Yeah.
because this is unlike anything we've ever seen. I mean, and most people know that. Our hope is in God. We pray every day for the country. And speaking of which, we've got an election coming up. Should we talk about your next piece about Joe Biden? What's this called, the Joe Biden piece?
Yeah, this is a nuanced, sophisticated look at the next election. It's called Better Cut Off Your Hand Than Use It to Vote for Biden.
Jesus, these people. Yeah, he's so proud of himself, John Zmirak is. He thinks he's been clever. Better to cut off your hand than vote for Joe Biden.
Better cut off your hand than use it to vote for Biden. I would say better gnaw off your own arm.
Well, I wanted the biblical allusion.
And they tell us that the Democrats are the ones who are into cannibalism.
Well done. Well done. Okay.
I'm arguing is,
go ahead.
While in past years there might have been some shades of gray between the Republicans and the Democrats, this year the Democrats' program and Biden as a candidate are so clearly and explicitly evil.
Evil. Not at odds with my evil. I'd love to know which part of it that's so evil as compared to previous Democratic candidates. I mean, shit. In 2016, Hillary Clinton was portrayed as, well, Jezebel, and you don't get much more evil in your biblical analogies and your biblical metaphors than Jezebel. But no. Joe Biden. Because Hillary's not the nominee now.
That it is actually a grave occasion of serious sin to vote for them. I put it up there as like intrinsically evil, like adultery, murder.
Wait, adultery is intrinsically evil? Hold the phone. Somebody get Trump Tower on the blower, or the White House. Somebody. Get Judd Deere. This John Zmirak dude says that adultery is intrinsically evil. Shall we check in with Stormy Daniels? Or Susan never can remember that other woman's name. Stormy just sort of pulled all the oxygen out of the room. Or, you know, the 20-plus women that he's alleged to have assaulted or abused. Adultery is a right. But, no. I-O-K-I-Y-A-R.
Blasphemy.
The only thing, John, is that, as we said earlier, there are plenty of people planning to vote for Biden or whoever ends up being the candidate in November. And they have no idea. They think we're crazy because they haven't been exposed to a set of facts that are not controvertible. They've never been.
Huh? They haven't been exposed to a set of facts that are. Is this where they're going to start talking about Q? What?
Exposed to these facts.
And that speaks to their culpability on Judgment Day. In other words, however much they are to blame. If you shoot something in the forest and you think it's a deer and it turns out to be, you know, a high school teacher, if you didn't intend it and weren't negligent, maybe you're not culpable.
Hold on. Perry Mason. One, how is it that he comes up with the analogy of shooting a deer and it turns out to be a woman? Is this the guy who mistook his wife for a hat? What's going on in this freak's head? If you didn't intend it and weren't negligent, maybe you weren't culpable. Well, how can you shoot a high school teacher thinking it's a deer and not
be negligent? I mean, okay, you did, in good faith, you thought it was a deer, but even that still winds up being... negligent homicide. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. As Jeremy points out, vote to tax these religion fuckers till they cry real tears. You know, like the ones your kids will if you beat them properly. Precisely. And Darlene points out, and you know, there are crazies out there that will do just that. Cut off their hand or gnaw off their arm so as not to vote for Joe Biden. Yeah, but how are they going to go and vote for Donald Trump then? That's what the nose is for. Or maybe among the men, something. Oh dear, I better leave that alone.
But the teacher is still dead. America will still die if we elect this Disney animatronic dead president whose battery is dying, who will be replaced by the most ruthless, power-hungry opportunist, radical leftist, Kamala Harris.
Oh. So Biden kind of gets a pass because he's a Disney animatronic dead president with a battery dying. Has this fucker ever seen Donald Trump in action?
And God bless the United States of America.
Did he ever see Donald Trump talking about the oranges? Anything. But that's who they are. Because they're evangelicals, they are willing to overlook the beam in their own eye to pluck the mote out of someone else's. When the beam in their own eye is so damn big, it probably causes them to gouge the eye out of the person whose mote they're reaching for. They because they have a belief system that involves a bunch of neo-Calvinist puritanical voodoo, they see sin everywhere in everyone but in themselves. And frankly, if they'd open their book and read the words of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, they'd find out that he didn't think much of people like them. But there's one last theological problem here, and that is this. Their own theology says all you have to do is say, "Sorry, Jesus!" And Jesus says, "We're cool, man. You're going to heaven." So even if it's a sin to vote for Joe Biden, all you got to do is vote for Joe Biden and then say, "Sorry, Jesus!" "Oh, it's okay." Oh, God. "Cast ye into the lake of fire made for the devil and his angels." So that's John Zmorak and what's his name? Eric Metaxas and Kenneth Copeland and Steve Strang. Well, I'm sure Jesse Lee Peterson doesn't want the women folk doing any talking, but we've also got Elizabeth Farah, and she's up in the thin oxygen because she's a co-founder and the chief operating officer of Wingnut Daily. And she too, within a matter of days, got the talking points and we find out from her as well, it's a sin to vote for Joe Biden. Now, why? You're not gonna, I'm not gonna, but how in the hell does anybody with two brain cells rub together, how do they give any credence at all to these freaks and fools? How do you listen to anything they're saying? "Oh, that makes sense to me. Oh, definitely. Randy in PA, by the way, noting, if you gnawed off your arm, then where would you inject the Lysol? Right in the stump, Randy, right in the stump.
All right, you kind of got to lean over to get to the shoulder socket, but you could.
So you'd probably have a little left, at least as far up as the mid-bicep. And Ron in Raleigh points out, that teacher, it's deer season and the teacher's in the woods not wearing blaze orange, plus they're wearing their antler hat. Other than abortion and gay rights, what democratic things are evil? Asking for a very confused friend. Oh, the food stamps. Ask any one of these evangelicals. They'll tell you that food assistance, women and infant children nutritional assistance, anything that benefits anyone that is paid out of public funds for the benefit of we the people, you know, working on forming that more perfect union and promoting the general welfare, key word there, those are all satanic and demonic because it should solely be, and the argument's been made. I'm sure we played a clip on this program at some point in time. The argument's been made that charity should be the sole province of the church, even though there's no way that the church could ever handle the massive amount of need in this country. Remember, James Hagee. Is that his name? Hagee, whatever. From down near San Antonio. If a man will not eat, and now you got to understand, this guy got to the point where he could not actually get up out of a chair. He was so consumed by his own gluttony. But he would bellow from the stage to his floor-rolling, strychnine-swigging, tongue-speaking, Lysol-guzzling oil, Crisco-anointing, mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. Starve! James Hagee. And they believe all that because it's all a zero-sum game to them, because if somebody's eating food, that means that that's something they don't have. And as we have been known to say on this program from time to time, they want it all. All.
You are obligated to vote, and yeah, for Trump Pence in this 2020 election. It's not part of Christian liberty. To do good is to eschew those who are advocating evil, unrighteousness, killing of babies, lawlessness, defunding of police, socialism, Marxism, fascism.
So if you defund the people who are killing young black men in cold blood, that's a sin and it's evil. I'm thinking that the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer might take issue with the likes of Elizabeth Farah, don't you?
So you cannot vote for Biden and Harris. You know what? To not vote for Trump Pence in this election, either to vote for the other side or to stay at home, this is the equivalent. I want you to think of the scene of this lovely family, three or four kids, mom and a dad.
I much preferred our scene from Bull Durham, but that's me.
And dad's sitting in an easy chair and he's watching his game. And there are home invaders.
Is she married? You think we might play Love Connection and hook her up with Jesse Lee Peterson? Because, you know, dad's in his easy chair. That means that then there's a couple of kids. That means mom's off working her ass off somewhere. So because, you know, dad's in his easy chair watching the game. Match made in heaven. You know, a long, long time ago, back in the early days of Malloy's program, every now and then he'd do a segment on WSB called Dateless and Desperate. And he had some promotional stuff, and he'd take two perfect strangers and hook them up with on a blind date in the middle of the program, and then they'd report back. This would be a perfect opportunity for Dateless and Desperate. Absolutely perfect.
right outside the door, pounding down the door. They're going to break in and do violence, perhaps rape the wife, whatever they do to their property. Who cares? What happens to the children? Don't know. And the father wants to
Mother stabbers! Father rapers!
Continue watching the game.
Well, Jesse Lee Peterson would keep watching the game because that's what God wants. Why is she even talking into a camera and a microphone? Ain't she got no peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to make?
Or let's have another vision of this. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You are watching as a blind man goes to a cliff, or maybe it's toward an oncoming train, and you cannot be bothered to redirect his path to safety. That's what this is about.
Yeah. You know what? That's a perfect example, because we got a lot of people who are walking toward the cliff, and we say to them, hey, would you put on a mask? Because there's a pandemic. And they say, Donald Trump don't wear no mask. I ain't got to wear no mask. It's in the Constitution. These maggots live in the palm of the hand of the goddess of irony. They do.
But I want you to just watch the news every single day. And
every tinkle day? She and Jesse Lee are made for each other.
You tell me that it would not be sin to vote for Biden and Harris.
Well, I do. It's kind of what I do for a living. I watch the news every single day. I read the news. And as far as I can tell, given the Baptist upbringing that I had, if there's any sin involved, it's in letting a man stay in the White House who has ordered children to be kept in cages, separated from their mommies and their daddies, and some of them to this day still not knowing even who the parents are, where they are, or even trying to find them. That strikes me as pretty sinful, because Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi, said, anyone that would hurt one of these little ones, and he's not talking about fetuses, because back then they still didn't even understand why it rained. Anyone who would hurt one of these little ones, and he had them, you know, they were kind of wandering around. He said, suffer little children to come unto me. He didn't say, come on, let's go make him little children suffer. Anyone who would harm one of these little ones, it would be better that he had never been born, or that a millstone should be hung around his neck and he thrown into the sea. And yet the number of little ones that Donald J. Trump has harmed are damn near without number. How about that? Oh, and I had a series of messages from our buddy Arnold a little bit ago. Arnold, of course, is visually challenged, and replying to. I think the first comment may have had to do with Sarah and Jong-un. I went the rest of the way blind. What the fuck? And then the preacher guy, I'm scared, Bob. As to Jesse Lee Peterson, for reference, I've had sex with many professional educated women, nurses, lawyers, etc., and they do it real good. Hashtag make the host laugh. That's a good one. That's hashtag make the host laugh. Yeah. So we're well into the third hour of the program, and we got $65 to finish the evening. It would be nice if we could knock that out and not be dealing with $265 tomorrow. But I'm not complaining. But thank you very much to those of you who got us to where we are. Thank you so much. And, you know, we had the food porn earlier in the program. Let's go and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm just asking because I'm in the car and I'm not like sure how this this Bluetooth.
All the hands-free stuff. Yeah, it's not your best audio ever, but you're coming through.
All right. Yeah, is that better?
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, I mean, you were fine to begin with. So, how's the new ride?
Well, it's interesting. I guess other people have a hybrid out there, but I'm still learning to use what's given, and so an eco. I mean, if you get online, if you have all these, and I really want to get back to what you were just talking about because I'm seeing a real common thread. But okay, but back to the gas miles. Yeah, so now I don't have to get as many potatoes. Because in town, eco is fine in town. I mean, there's no problem with that. As a matter of fact, when you look at the gas miles in the eco, it's got a gauge, like a bar graph type gauge. I guess a lot of most newer cars have that, but it tells you live exactly what you're getting at that specific time. So you get that sucker up to you're not supposed to be going more than 45 miles an hour around here anyway, like in town, 35, sometimes 25. So you get up to speed and just kind of coast, and you're getting 60 miles to the gallon, sometimes 99. All that gets negated when you accelerate, and it goes way down. But, so what I'm really doing is trying to track how much I can get in town out of a full tank of gas. So I'm feeling things out, but I feel better.
Well, at least you don't have a turbocharger spinning up and just making the needle move in real time.
Yeah, I know. That turbo lag is something. I mean, but you know what? It's like, this is cool because it's like having two cars in one. It's like you have a sporty car when you need it. But, in town, you don't really need that.
Do you have a sport setting or a button on the stick or anything?
Well, there's a paddle shift, but it's not a paddle because it's not on the wheel. But you can, think a manual if you want to. But yeah, most of these hybrids have eco, normal, and sport, and so that's what I'm saying. So when you keep it in eco, it's pretty damn cool. Like when you shut the car off, it tells you your exact average for that trip. It's real geeky. Like if you like stats, you love it because but you have to figure out how to work all this stuff. But I will say this: it makes you think about the gas you're burning, and that's a good thing. I think that's a very good thing. But at the same time, when you need to have some speed, you got the speed. You got the speed when you need it. You got the quickness and you got the speed. Because, I was on the highway. I was doing over 100, and I still had the giddy up, And I've had an LS400 with the V8, gasoline V8. That was my last car. Cover for the one before that one, actually. But, I'm glad I don't have that anymore. That shit was going to get me in trouble. And it had the low-profile tires and the mag wheels, and dark window. It was it looked suspect. But it was fun. But anyway, I'm glad that was gone. The tree liked the car more than I did, so fuck. But anyway. So I was just saying, man, this is the way to go. It's not that much more. And it's commonplace. A lot of these cars are hybrid now. And you just don't know it. You have to look closely. You have to look closely. But feeling this thing out, and it's really, like, in town, I'm getting, 42 miles to the gallon in town. And that's with all the air burning. It's a full-size car. Because I'm 6'3". You asked me about the Prius. Now, I just drove two Priuses. Or two Prii, there's a debate. But that is a nice driving car. It's just, it's too, everybody around me, we're tall, and it's just not, could be a great second car. I like for second car, no problem. No problem. And I know people who buy a Prius, they usually get another one. I mean, you know, this is the way to go. If you can do it, I don't know if I can do it yet. I really don't know. I'm going to find out, you know, financially. I was just like, fuck this shit. Because the way this, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with oil. We don't know. We just don't know. And so there's a way to miser out this thing. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So in other words, you can be a miser and you can be a speed demon at the same time in the same vehicle. And that's beautiful. You know, I think it's great. So I'm happy so far. But okay, so you know, as usual, you just, I don't understand how all these folks that don't know shit, man, they're making millions of dollars a year, and your program's so much better. It's so much better.
Well, thank you, Todd. I know you're sincere, but you see, we don't say the things that get you millions of dollars on this program. My friends, I'm telling you now that if you had the opportunity that I have had to perform a rim job on Donald Trump and toss his salad, well, you know, he's orange, kind of like mandarin oranges in a salad are. And when you toss Donald Trump's salad, my friends, you have really arrived. And that, my friends, is why I want you to run out and buy a steel building from General Steel Buildings and floor it with some flooring from Lumber Liquidators. I rest my case.
He is so disgusting. I can't even listen to Jesse. I used to like to do Jesse Lee's impression, but I can't even listen to him anymore because he's just, I don't know what the hell is wrong with him.
I don't know, but I really want to. I really want to hook him up with the lady from Wingnut Daily. I think they're made for each other.
Oh, God. Are you kidding? He'd be paying you. He'd be like, you must be a pimp. You know, come on. Oh, Jesus. So what you were talking about, you know, I think these folks, this is what I hear a lot around here. Like, some people have bought, like, educated people, some people, you know, they bought into this herd immunity thing. And I don't think that applies to this virus.
Oh, God. You cannot have, right. Look, you cannot have herd immunity unless you have a vaccine. And if you have a vaccine and you get to about 95% vaccination rate, then you can have herd immunity. That's how it's worked for decades with the measles. And that's why we have measles outbreaks now, because you got sick freaks like Kenneth Copeland's goddamn daughter, who started her own little mini-demic in Texas a couple of years ago, because she told her credulous, gullible followers not to vaccinate their children. And so there are a lot of communities in this country now, Todd, that do not reach that 95% vaccination rate. And I swear, I think the people behind the anti-vaxxer movements are ethnic cleansers. Look, I mean, if you were listening, the robocalls from Berkman and Wohl were targeted at communities of color in Chicago and Detroit. Don't let the man make you get a vaccine. They'll use your data to track you and make you get a vaccine. Don't let the man do that to you. That was in the, you know, right.
See, and you know, I think, like my grandma used to say, they mean well, but, you know, that's what happens when, and we all do this from time to time. We kind of run with maybe a half-assed data set. You don't know the full story. Like, that's true in some cases, but you made a very prescient and accurate comment early on. I mean, way early. When we were talking about this thing mutating, I mean, way early. And it was, I'll never forget it. You said, well, and it's true. You know, and they make us know this, the coronavirus is, the common cold is a form of coronavirus, and we don't have a cure for that. this fucker is hard. This is like the hard. So why would they think that? All right, I'm not jumping ahead, but you get what I'm saying, right?
I do.
And this is why the vaccines they're talking about, it borders on, and I'm not trying to get out of my lane here. I'm just trying to talk about what I know. But it borders on genetic modification, like GMO stuff, because they're messing with the
Well, remember, you don't, RNA. You know, it's odd. I was, I forget who I was talking to earlier today. Maybe one of my daughters. And
the nurse?
No. What I was talking about is the fact that you don't have to have some sort of white-coated laboratory technician twirling his handlebar mustache and laughing mad in order to have genetic manipulation and modification. A long, long time ago, when I was just a little baby college student out in Missouri, I had a magnificent Anthropology 1 professor. And he was talking about the rise of sedentary agricultural societies, you know, Fertile Crescent, mm-hmm. Mesopotamia. And he put forward a theory that was popular at the time. I don't know if it's been disproven, but it made sense at the time, still makes sense. And he said that the hunter-gatherers of the era and area would walk through these fields of grass. And, you know, we've all seen it, you know. Imagine a field, imagine the waving fields of alfalfa. You know, they put up an ear, and the little seeds on the ear and everything. And so these humans of 7,000 years ago they'd weave baskets, and they'd walk by, and they would shake the stalks, and the grains would fall into the basket. And in fact, we know how this works because, for instance, the brilliance of the Ojibwe culture up along the Great Lakes, just now, or maybe just ended, is wild rice season. And so you go through the wild rice, and you use two sticks, and you lean them over into the canoe, and you kind of tap, and the grains fall off, and they stand back up. And you take a little, and they take a little bit of the grain, and they drop it into the water because they're smart. And so the grain that fell off is regerminated in this edge of the stream. Well,
to spread the field.
Well, no, you're making sure that you're pre-selecting for a grain that will fall off the ear without having to be manually stripped. Which is what happened. Okay. Which is what happened at the beginning of sedentary agriculture back then, because they'd walk through with the baskets, and they'd take the grain that fell off into the basket, and go and eat it. And so what they did is they unintentionally genetically pre-selected for a grain that stayed attached to the ear, and so pretty soon, a few generations, whatever. They walk through the fields, and the grains don't fall into the basket.
Right.
So that means you got to cut the grain down, you got to thresh the grain, you got to separate the wheat from the chaff or the barley from the chaff, and then, son of a gun, you fucked yourself, because now you can't go wandering around anymore and be a happy little hunter-gatherer and the most successful version of humanity ever to live on the planet. You got to stay put. And then you got to plant it again. And the next thing you know, you're a farmer. And you're stuck. And some guy comes along and says, you know, I'm the head man here, and I need 10% of everything. What? Oh, yeah, we'll come and we'll kill your ass. And so warfare develops out of sedentary agriculture. All these things. And the Anishinaabe people didn't let that happen. They made sure they regerminated grains that would easily fall off the stalks.
Sounds like Connections from James Burke. You remember that?
Yeah. 80s. Yeah. But the reason I bring all of that up, Todd, is because you don't have to have somebody in a bioweapons laboratory, which is what the maggots and Trump, you know, want.
You know, they sent it to us from China.
And that paranoid bullshit just doesn't fly anymore. This was pure human negligence. And then as soon as it made the zoonotic leap from, you know, the story we're told, bat to pangolin to human. Well, that was mutation one, because until then it stayed in the bat population, and it mutated and got into the pangolin population, and then it mutated and got into the human population. And once that happened, it started mutating again, because coronaviruses mutate like a son of a gun. And so the version of the virus that has killed coming up on 190,000 Americans alone, that mutation happened in Europe. That mutation happened. That mutation got a good running start in Iran. It traveled. It got to Italy. It went to Spain. And became even more deadly. And as it spread through Europe, then it went to the place that Europe comes to America, New York. And it wasn't necessarily the same strain that was burning in Washington State at the time. But that mutation is what is eating America alive. And nobody had to interfere one little bit to make all of that happen. It's just evolution. You know, something that the fucking right-wingers deny even exists.
So we're back to science again. This fucking, you know...
Funny how it happens, but yes.
They don't get it.
I mean, these stupid little anti-evolution maggots, some of them will go and get their flu shots. But the reason you have to get a flu shot every year is that the flu mutates. And a flu vaccine, most people don't know.
You know, most people don't know that the flu vaccine...
No. I think a lot of people really don't know that the flu vaccine's only good for about 6 months.
It's always behind the steps.
After that, you're on your own, because the flu, that version, dies out in warm weather. And that's why Nitwit Nero said,
and you know, when the warm weather comes, it'll just die.
It's a coronavirus, not a flu bug, you fucking idiot. And... So,
a novel virus.
Yeah, it's definitely not a short story virus or a vignette virus. It's a novel virus. And it's turning out to be goddamn War and Peace and not, you know, the Prophet by Khalil Gibran, you know, relatively small book. Lovely book, but small. No, this is turning out to be War and Peace. So,
man, we had that book in my house when I was a little kid. And I mean, I was so little, I didn't even know how to read. And they had it on this little bamboo stand. And I didn't even, and when I learned to read, I asked, what is this? And it's so simple. And it's just, anyway, that's a whole other aside. That's so funny you brought that up.
Or Jonathan Livingston Seagull. That's a pretty thin book, too. But the larger point here, Todd, is that, for instance, the little maggots will go and get their flu vaccine, never understanding that the reason there's a new flu vaccine every year is because they're trying to track the mutagenesis of the flu bug as the forces of evolutionary biology operate upon it. All evolution is based upon mutations. And they're not good mutations. You know, there's no value judgment in evolutionary biology. There's only mutations. There's only mutations.
It just is.
You know, it's just changed through time. And so
now the Earth is only 7,000 years old, and all the animals is on the ark. Yep.
And yet they get their flu vaccines. You know, a long time ago, I said I think that we should ban every anti-evolutionary person from getting any vaccines whatsoever, and evolution will then take care of them. But that doesn't work, because you still have to have the herd immunity. So with the flu vaccine, if you get it when it comes out in September, which is, you know, what I was thinking, you know, I'm going to get it as, well, then let's see, September, October, November, December, your flu vaccine runs out when you're still in the middle of flu season. So that's why they recommend you get, if you're healthy enough, you get your flu vaccine in late October, early November, early December, and that way you've got coverage all the way through the end of flu season. But none of these little maggots know that. And the people, you know, Donald Trump's going to get us a vaccine because, you know, he's a businessman.
Oh, please.
They have no goddamned idea, Todd. They're clueless. All they know is that Donald Trump hates all the people that they hate, and that's enough for them.
All right, this is a tangent man insert here. Anytime somebody tells you, well, he's a businessman, and we need a businessman to get the country straight, remind them of what in America, in this here country, business means you make money at any cost, cheat, lie, steal until you get caught, because that is your covenant. That really, honestly, that's just the way it's set up. You just make money until you know.
Well, look, I mean, if they thought America would be saved by a good businessman, why didn't they run out and support Michael Bloomberg? Because he's a hell of a lot better businessman than Trump is. Michael Bloomberg could buy Donald Trump for what he thinks he's worth, sell him for what he's actually worth, and never count the loss. He's so fucking rich. He has been a very, very good businessman within the narrow confines of what constitutes a good businessman. Donald Trump has been a terrible businessman. 6 business bankruptcies, you know, compared to Michael Bloomberg's 0. Now, this is not me praising Michael Bloomberg, but if the metric is good businessman, then that's the guy you want. But Michael Bloomberg, and see, that's why he's a businessman, is such a giant howling fraud. Because it has nothing to do with being a businessman. It has to do with being a misogynist, being a xenophobe, being a bigot, and hating all the people that they hate. That's all that matters.
It's all that's left. I mean, we're 3, well, almost 4 years in, and the veneer is gone. It's distilled down to what it is. Okay? He made excuses for an outside agitator who happened to be 17 years old acting illegally. In other words, that young man did not need to be where he was. He was just like, he kept, you got, everything is binary. Left, right, forward, back. That's all our lives. Left, right, forward, back. You know, maybe up, down, depending. But, so he continually made the wrong choice. He put himself in that position. And he smirked about it like, oh, I'm smarter than them. I'm just going to say this and they're not going to know what I'm up to. Fuck you. You know, I might be gray, but I ain't stupid. Get the fuck out of here, man. So, you know what? Right. So back to these people and their pseudoscience and their lack of education. And I hate to keep harping on that, but I'm sorry. America has let its citizens down when they started defunding public education. Now we have all these morons running around and a bad economy. Fake economy. That's what's fake is this economy. That's what's fake. They're angry because they ain't making no money. And they keep voting for the people that they're definitely not going to make any money with. You know, they're voting for the people that got paid to send their jobs to China. You know, but they don't know how to do the research to figure that out, or they don't want to see it. So this thing I hear now, because this is the meme I'm hearing. And I'm just I'm putting some feelers out because I want to see if it's just me or whatever. I'm hearing people say, well, it's just God's will. It's just going to be God's will.
I'm washed, you know, in the blood.
And I'm like, well, everybody doesn't believe in God. Like I do, but that's, you know, I'm not,
I'm not the type of person. I'm not beating you over the head with the Bible. That is my business, and you got your business. So don't bring your religious shit into my. That was supposed to be the rule here, wasn't it?
According to the First Amendment, yeah. I mean, but that interpretation of the First Amendment went out with High Button Greaves.
So now we're getting this this hyper. It feels like to me this hyper Calvinistic survival of the fittest type posture, mixed in with the white supremacy, and this is not a good look.
But it looks great to his supporters.
How?
Because they hate all the things he hates. Don't sell short the depth of their perversity.
Don't they see that?
No. No. Whatever's going to follow that, the answer is no. They don't see it because they don't care to see it. They don't want to see it. They want to hear him say that word that's got all the same letters as ginger. That's what they want. It's like we've talked about in the past. If someone was to somehow get those Apprentice outtakes out of the pry them from the grasping, clutching fingers of Mark Burnett, and they could play clips of Donald Trump saying that word 100 times, which apparently exists in those outtakes, that would not lose him a single vote and would probably get him some. That is how far down the fucking drain this country is right now.
I 100% agree with you.
And what we're trying to do here, and it's proving to be entirely too goddamn hard, not just because of the maggots, but because of the fucking the sparkle fart propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol, is put a stopper in the goddamn drain before we all circle the bowl with them.
I will say this: the Washington Journal is so disappointing lately, because these people who claim they're not racist, I'm like, well, you're part of the problem. I just heard what you said, and you just don't get it. Because this is the meme, and this has been ever since, but, you know, in the public media with Trayvon and then Michael Brown. Even the juror in Michael Brown's case said, well, you know, he was going to do something bad anyway. He was, he was just some worthless. That's what the woman said. And she shouldn't have been on the jury in the first place. Turned out she was a meth head, and she wasn't even eligible to be on the jury. But so that's what a lot of white people think. Like, you know.
I got into it with an asshole on, I try not to do it anymore.
Oh, shit.
But I got into it with an asshole on Facebook, and he said, and he referred to Michael Brown, George Floyd, Eric Garner. He referred to them as clowns. If these clowns had just done what the police told them to, they'd still be alive.
Right. The compliance thing. See, Do they understand how deep an American...
Right. So it boils down to, God damn it, just say your name's Toby and they won't whip you anymore.
That's it. I'm a white man, you do what the fuck
You know, don't assert your own agency. Don't assert your personhood. Just quit saying Kunta Kinte and say Toby and they'll quit whipping you. Till they whip you the next time. For something else. Well, I'm sorry, Todd. I personally apologize for using that comparison, because it's brutal and it's hateful, but it's also real. You know, it's Robert E. Lee telling his overseer to lay it on and lay them on well.
Bob, that was an effective delivery system of the idea.
It's Andrew Jackson putting out a newspaper ad saying that if someone will capture and return his runaway slave, that he gives them the ability, that he gives them the right to deliver, to lay on well 30 lashes upon catching him.
They don't get, I've heard this numerous, and other people like Stephen Georgia, who listens, I know he listens once in a while to Washington Journal. They make this equivocation where, okay, just comply and you'll be okay. But, you know, there's a lot of variables there. Number one, we got these.
How, well, yeah, but how is, no, no, see, that's, and I know you don't, but you'd love to look at one of these people and say, okay, fuckwit, how was Breonna Taylor supposed to comply in her sleep in her bed?
They shut down at that point, Bob. That's the shutdown.
How was Tamir Rice supposed to comply at the age of 12 in less than a minute when they were blowing him away? How was the guy in Walmart supposed to comply when all he was doing was examining a BB gun to see if he wanted to buy it? How do you comply?
When you find out, let me know, because I would really like to have that information.
Well, you're being facetious, but because there is no answer. Because every time you comply, there's another level of compliance that is required. Oh wait, he said Toby real fast. That means we don't. Okay, make him suck your dick. Oh God, I'm sorry for being so coarse, but.
I don't understand how people think that way. It's like, okay, you know, like what? I don't know what they know. That is bullshit. But see, but then it's like, okay, but you know, he got shot in the back. He was shot, not got. He was shot in the back, or personally.
Why is it, Todd? Why is it? Why is it taking so goddamn long? Where's the body cam footage? Where's the dash cam footage? Why is it taking so long to get that? In Jacob Burke's case, you know, and the cop union puts out a statement. Oh, he was no angel. Oh, no, he was a dangerous thug, and he had a knife. Well, actually, it was an assegai.
Okay, and you know what? And I see the clock now for some reason. I would like to ask this rhetorical. It's not really a rhetorical question. It's a research question. What if? Because this is an ongoing pattern. People who, I'm just saying people, who are fatally shot or injured financially or bodily by police, law enforcement, the state, is always concerned about, well, what was in their background? What was in their system? Now, I'm thinking, okay, the motherfucker who just killed somebody just because they wear a badge, what was in their mind? What was in their fucking system? If we drug tested every one of these motherfucking police every time they fucking kill somebody, they would slow the fuck down. Because I'm telling you, they are drawn from the general population. Just like you got gamblers, drug addicts, pimps and prostitutes on the street, the same thing is in the police force. I know this for a motherfucking fact. For a fucking fact. So we need to collectively start asking that question. When they bring that bullshit up, say, well, let's see. Let's look at the Facebook account of that officer. What types of things was he involved in? Where is his urine? Matter of fact, we need a hair sample. We need to go back 8 years. We need a pubic hair sample.
Well, you know, the cop union would never stand still for that, Todd.
Well, fuck them. Fuck them. They got to go. Fuck them.
And really and for true, in your state, South Carolina, the precious Lindsay, really did go to accept an endorsement from the Fraternal Order of Police.
Well, he might be fucked. I don't know.
Well, but the funny thing is, he shows up, and everybody from the Fraternal Order of Police, and you know, one of them's instead of wearing a mask, he's wearing a bandana of that desecration of the American flag with black and gray stripes and one blue line.
So that's supposed to make us feel comfortable? Are you serious?
So Lindsay goes to accept their endorsement, the cop union. And a reporter said, you mentioned that we should see more minority police. When was the last time you visited one of those neighborhoods in this area? Also, just looking at the landscape behind you, landscape. There's not a minority sheriff's officer or police officer, anybody standing behind you. What does that say?
I would say that African-American cops are with me. He chuckled. I think the hardest job in America right now is being an African-American cop. I go to communities all over. I was in downtown Spartanburg looking at housing developments. I go all over the state wherever we have a crisis. I'm there. You know, it was the white National Guard members that said to me, you have no idea what crap these people, black brothers and sisters in uniform, take a lot of grief. They're called traitors. But not in South Carolina, said Lindsay. If you're a young African-American thinking about a career in law enforcement, all of us respect you.
Well, yeah, because you're doing, the bidding. You're yelling Toby before the first lash comes down.
Well, he's getting out in front of it. But see, Mayor, Columbia is the capital, and if it weren't, the only reason it's the capital is because of its geographic location. It's like right smack dab in the middle of the state. Because otherwise, it would just be a dusty town. And, I mean, it's on a river, but, Steve Benjamin is a black person, and he's been the mayor for more than a few cycles now. But most white folks, they moved out of Columbia, and they live out, like, in the county, out in county.
Yep, fled to the burbs.
And, right. So, but Jamie Harrison, he may not win this time, but the fact that he is this close.
Oh, I'm not giving up on him. I am not going to give up on him. Now they're going to try to use Black Lives Matter to destroy his campaign. Yeah. Jamie Harrison wants to see our beautiful South Carolina towns turned into ashes. Well, Rhett Butler, it's been done before.
He's a good and decent person. And, and Lindsey Graham at least used to be reasonable. I don't know what the hell happened to him. Russia must have got some tapes on him with his lifestyle or whatever. Not lifestyle, but, who he is. And that's what I think. Because something happened. I mean, there's no way. Everybody knew he was gay. Nobody said anything. So what? You gay? I mean, who cares if people are gay anymore? That's
right.
Who cares?
It's never about that. It's about the hypocrisy. If you're standing on the floor of the Senate saying, mercy sakes, we've got to protect the sanctity of American families, and we can't let them homosexuals get all married and such, and then, you find out that, Colonel Mustard in the billiard room with the Hey Todd, I gotta get out of here, brother.
I'll talk to you later, man.
All right, I gotta go pick up Ferg from work. My day is not an end.
I hope he's doing well.
He's trying, but I can't.
You're a great father.
No, I'm not. He needed this job in the middle of a pandemic, like his mom and I need COVID-19.
Well, it might be the time to stay home. I mean, I don't know.
There's some things you can't talk to some folks about. Todd, take care of yourself. Enjoy the ride.
I'll talk to you, man. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. Later. Oh, and we still get to talk. Wait, I don't know if you heard or not. We still get to talk about that
pork belly wrapped tomahawk ribeye.
That's what I'm talking about.
Shit.
All right, we'll catch up on the food porn.
Oh, we got to. We got to. Later, man.
All right.
Bye. Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. And it is time to get out of here. Thank you to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thank you to those of you who jumped in and got us all the way down to only $65 to go this evening. We'll carry that over to tomorrow. Thank you. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air through your subscriptions, PayPal, Patreon, a la carte contributions. I can never thank you enough. You're why the program exists. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time on this little blue-green marble hurtling through the universe. Share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Pinch Hit Midweek Chat Room Utility Moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgia, Stan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Ace ahead on .live. Brand new Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Stick around. Use the chat room for your Truth Seeker gathering if you feel so inclined. John Hagee. Yeah, John Hagee. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. James Hagee. I was thinking about James Robinson. So anyway, stick around for Malloy at 9 on the Head On Dot live stream. It's the best place to listen to Malloy. Thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. The virus is not getting any better. Stay home if you can. Stay safe at all costs. If you have to go out, wear your mask, wear your gloves if you got them, wash your hands a lot, don't touch your face, maintain your social distance, and for God's sake, if anybody comes towards you burbling all about how it's a sin to vote for Joe Biden, avoid them like the plague, because they are. Later.